What's up, fam? I'm your host, Jack Settlement. Joining me today, and as always, my co-host and longtime best friend, Abe Granoff. Abe, what is on your mind today?
If you hear us clearing our throat, you hear us coughing during this episode, we don't apologize. There's one person that should apologize for us coughing today. Why don't we bring him in? Listen, get in here early. Where's he at?
I don't think he was prepared to bring it. I mean,
well, I'm prepared for him to come in.
Probably something you want to like forewarn behind, get him, you know, knowing.
Well, anyway,
you know, Eagleson, once he hits record, he's downstairs making breakfast, you know, right. Chilling out.
Actually, where the hell is he? Anyway, Eagleson's country's on fire and New York City has turned into Gotham because of it. You go outside and it is as if like you're on iChat when you're a little kid and everything's yellow and brown. I forget what the filter is called. And you just can't breathe. Everything smells like a bonfire because Eagleson's country can't locate its fire extinguisher. So what would you like to say for yourself, Eagleson? Your country's on fire and now it's ruining America.
Yeah. So as always, Americans are completely selfish about this whole situation. Not once have I heard you guys say, are you okay? Like, where is the fire? All you guys care about is your skies looking a tiny bit orange. Not once have I heard either of you ask a single question about how we're doing or how we're, like, if we're doing okay here. You couldn't even point out where these fires are happening on a map. So I have no sympathy whatsoever. Exactly. Canada's a big country. It's not, come on.
Quebec. How about that?
Could you point out where on Quebec? It's a big province.
I don't give a shit. Keep your fire. This is there you know go. What? I'm not a Donald Trump guy, but build the wall is sounding nicer and nicer to this day. Had we built that wall with
air, can get over the wall, Abe.
Not if you build it high enough. You think air gets to space? I can't breathe out here because of Eagleson. He's taking out his anger on the Leafs on America, and that's not cool.
It is the French, to be fair. It is the Quebecers. It started up there. Now it's over in Ontario. It was super windy. We had a little bit of a storm, so it all kind of got pushed over to northern Ontario. But it is bad right now. Okay. It is bad. I can't deny
thanks
it.
Thanks for that little rant, our CNN correspondent. So when I first saw the sky, I think it was Tuesday night. I walked out of the gym at like 7 o'clock. And at that point, I had no idea that Canada was on fire. And I looked up and I was like, yeah, this is the apocalypse. Like, this is it. We're going to die. Then I found out that it was Canada was on fire and it wasn't our fault. And then it got me thinking, like, what I would do if the apocalypse actually came. Like, in my mind, the sky was opening and zombies were coming down. I think I would just, like, be the first one to go. Like, I would
do you think zombies can fly? Talk me through, like that statement.
Well, no, they would just drop from the sky. And then land.
Right. That's how you think zombies. Do you know what a zombie is?
Yeah, it's a dead person.
Right. So where do you think a dead person comes from in a zombie film?
Heaven.
Naturally. Okay. Yeah.
Makes sense, yeah. Right? So what I was thinking is, like, if zombies were to come down to Earth and, like, you knew for a fact the world was over, like, everyone's like, what are you going to do? Like, I'm going to kiss the girl I had a crush on. Like, I'm going to rob a bank. I'm going right to the zombies. I'm not going to try and fight it. I'm not going to try and have fun. Let's just get this over with. I know my fate. I think that's what I would do if the zombies came down. But that's actually my thought. That train of thoughts went through my head on Tuesday night when I looked up and saw the sky in New York City.
Yeah, I got the hell out of there. I saw the smog, and then I was out by early Wednesday morning down in Austin, Texas. And it's bad. It's really bad. They said that if you were to spend 24 hours outside, it would be like smoking 6 packs of cigarettes.
They might said be cap of the week, by the way.
I don't know. It's the worst air quality in the world by double. So there's a rating of like 340, and the second closest is 170. The air quality is 340, which is twice 170, which is the second worst air quality in the world. So, yeah, I don't know if it's capital. It looked really bad. People were saying they're wearing masks now. They can barely breathe walking upstairs. So is it still like that this morning?
I haven't gone outside this morning yet. I know the warning is staying until at least midnight tonight. But it's funny. everyone started throwing out this term AQI, AQI, and it felt like the Olympics. It felt like a big UFC fight where everyone was an AQI expert all of a sudden. They saw it once, and they were throwing it out left and right, telling us what this person did wrong in their figure skating routine, having never watched figure skating in their entire life. Everyone just wanted to be smart, and at the end of the day, I think South Park said it best. Blame Canada. Blame Canada.
The only thing more on fire than Canada right now is Southern Florida. Lionel Messi, welcome to the United States of America. What would you describe to the general, to all our new Leo fans, all our Barcelona people, all the Paris Saint-Germain fans who are listening in, trying to understand why Messi would come to America and play? The haters are calling it a retirement league. The truthers are saying that Leo won a World Cup just 12 months ago. So if it's a retirement league and you're sending your best player in the world over here, I don't know if I agree, but what's the appeal of Miami for you?
What's the appeal of Miami?
Yeah.
Sun, beaches, no state income tax, and no expectations because the fans have so many other things to care about in Miami that they don't need to go watch Inter Miami or whoever the hell play. But the craziest part about Lionel Messi coming to the USA isn't that he's coming to the USA, because USA is probably... he is the most famous person in the world, soccer probably, but the USA brings so much more opportunity to his brand, more likely. Not that his brand could even grow anymore, but any time that you could sit down, and this is a nice foreshadowing into what we'll talk about next, anytime you could sit down and turn down an offer that has 10 numbers in it, which is what reportedly Lionel Messi denied from the Saudis, aka the PGA Tour, then nothing else really matters in life. With max contracts and contracts in the NBA, it's always crazy conceptually to me to understand how someone can physically say no to $40 million. But in the back of their head, there's I'm saying no to $40 million, but I'm saying no to that being my value on the market. There's no quantifying what Lionel Messi's value on the market is to a country or to a team or anything. And for him to turn down, reportedly, $500 million a year, $1.5 billion for 3 years. How does someone do that? America is nice, right? It's okay. It's not that nice. I promise you that, Leo.
But he's got all the money. So I guess this is the classic case of, do you need more money or should you just take more money? Because fuck it, it's three more years. Let me rewind very quickly. You mentioned suns and beaches. Well, Barcelona has that. You mentioned no state income tax. Well, Lionel Messi hasn't paid his taxes in 14 years. That's how global he was, is that tax evasion was pretty much written into his contract. And then you mentioned that the USA will do big things for his brand. That's where I actually don't know. Of course, his presence will grow in the United States. He'll get a ton of attention. But international soccer is the biggest your brand's ever going to be. He's a world figure. LeBron James is the most popular basketball player in America. He's the most popular male athlete in the United States. He has 150 million Instagram followers. He's outspoken. He's a social media person. He's got all this content. He's got a media company. Messi, he's quiet. He's tame. He barely posts on Instagram. And still with that, 459 million Instagram followers, three times that of LeBron James. I don't know I don't really know what the play is here, to be quite frank. It's not like you're going to play high-level soccer. Inter Miami, Abe, I don't think people talked about this. They are literally the worst team in the MLS. They're on a 7-game losing streak. So you could have had suns and beaches in Barcelona. You could have more money in the Saudi region. You could have had a bigger brand in international soccer. Now, David Beckham, who bought Inter Miami, was the first to make this movie. Came over to the MLS 15 years ago, played for the LA Galaxy, and then bought Inter Miami. Now his stake in the team could be 20 times more, and that maybe is the play. But even if Messi, which could be in the deal, he's going to get Apple TV subscription revenue, he's going to get Adidas jersey sales revenue, and at the end of his 3 years here, he'll get to own an MLS franchise. Even with all of that, he still probably makes more money in the $1.5 billion. So I actually don't know what this move is per se for Messi. But with that being said, this is like monumental. This is like if LeBron James went over and played in the Italian Basketball League, it would change the game. The only difference is it wouldn't be the first time. Beckham was the first. Zlatan's done it. We've seen other international stars. But under 12 months ago, Lionel Messi won a World Cup. He's the biggest. He's the best player of all time. He's still a good player at this point in time. It's going to change American soccer forever. And as a soccer fan, I'm excited. Now, once he plays three games, will it get the coverage? Will anyone pay attention? Will ticket prices probably drop? Yes. But I think this is the next step, World Cup in 26, before, at the end of the day, the real football in America is the one that you kick your foot with.
You said a few things that I have questions about. One, because I'm not educated in soccer that much, and two, because I want to get your opinion. Lionel Messi coming to the MLS, does that automatically make him currently the best player in the MLS? Where does he rank in the world right now?
Yes, he's automatically the best player. He's like the a top five striker forward in the world. So there's not one better in the U.S.
And I'm curious, and this is a lot of people's take, how like their first gut reaction was, this is huge for U.S., the future of U.S. soccer. Outside of Lionel Messi coming to Miami and impregnating his wife and having more kids that have U.S. citizenship and can play for the USA national team, how does this impact the future of not the MLS and soccer's popularity in the country, but getting better players and like having good players to the point where you can compete on the world stage? I understand what it does for soccer as a popularity. You saw it in the ticket prices, but like in terms of making U.S. soccer successful and competing in the World Cup every 4 years, does 3 years of Lionel Messi really do that? I don't think so.
Yes, it moves the needle because popularity grows. So when this 8-year-old kid or the 8-year-old kid's parents are choosing what sport should my child play, is it NFL style football where my brain's going to get mashed to peas and realistically I'm not going to make it to the league? Or do I play soccer and start at a young age? And then you've got the off chance. It's an off chance, but it's a very real chance that now if Messi comes and then Sergio Busquets, his teammate, who's still playing at a decently high level, come over to the U.S., okay, then they're bringing in revenues with their popularity that now the salary cap is up and they can pay other players these high fees. Maybe the Americans, instead of having to go to Europe and getting better over there, maybe they're like, let's just stay. You know, in England, it's very common you're going to play in the Premier League, right? You don't want to leave England because you're going to get better playing there. So instead of playing at Leeds or playing in the German second league like some of our guys do, maybe they're playing in the U.S. because the quality and the level is just much higher. It's a long game, but I think the momentum of this combined with the 26 World Cup has a lot of potential to change the future. Remember, these European countries, world countries, have been playing footy for centuries. We haven't even existed for that long. So, yes, we're in this TikTok generation. A wants Messi to come and us to win the World Cup in 3 years. So do I. That's probably not how it's going to play out.
You thought we were going to win the World Cup 4 months ago. You don't think we're going to win in 4 years now?
I do. It's just, I'm just saying, might expect that.
Yeah, my point was, like, Lionel Messi coming to the U.S. is is exciting if you're a soccer fan in the U.S., but I think we need to pump the brakes on the entire, this is going to reshape U.S. soccer, because at the end of the day, this is Michael Jordan Wizards Lionel Messi. Granted, the talent level isn't the same, and where they stood on the world level, but my point is, it's the tail end of his career, it's 3 years, it kind of seems like the retirement tour, walk off to the sunset, and then own a U.S. sports team. And that's the angle that he's taking. I don't think Lionel Messi is sitting in Paris right now or in Argentina and thinking, you know what I'm going to do to really cement my legacy? Bring the U.S. a World Cup. I'm going to change U.S. soccer.
Well, no, that might be. Winning an MLS Cup probably isn't going to be in his
legacy. Oh, he doesn't give a fuck about that. He doesn't give a shit about that.
All right, so the Saudis lose out on Leo. They got Benzema, N'Golo Kante, obviously Cristiano Ronaldo. They can't get Messi, but my cuck of the week is the PGA Tour players who decided, I'm too morally, I'm too ethically big for this. I'm not going to play on the LIV Golf Tour. Only for 24 months later, that tour, to buy up my league and have that same ethically, morally people. Jay Monahan, you are my cuck of the week. If you guys have been living under a rock or living under a smog of smoke, the LIV Tour has combined with the PGA Tour. And holy backpedaling. I don't even know if they're backpedaling. I think they've just admitted, we've done and fucked it. We've done and fucked it. And I'm happy to say that we were on the right side of history. We even said, look, do we align with those people? No, we do not. But would we take that bag? Yes, we would. And it is proven that money always wins.
Yeah, you got me a little nervous when you started out saying your cuck of the week was the PGA players that didn't go over there. And you didn't take the angle that it was Jay Monahan or whatever he is. Quite possibly the biggest hypocritical scumbag of the last century in the sports world. Because I don't blame... Listen, I think it was a wrong decision. The original PGA players didn't go over there. However, I don't blame them when Jay Monahan and the entire PGA Tour was shoving down their throat and using 9/11 victims as a reason to convince these guys, hey, you don't have to apologize for being on the PGA Tour. You might have to do that in Saudi Arabia. Phil Mickelson had to pull his name from one of the majors last year because of the amount of flack that he was taking coming over. And they were told that we're going to bolster up the purses and everything. We're going to take care of you guys, all this stuff. Jay Monahan told everyone, he essentially made everyone feel like a piece of shit if they were going to go take the money, when behind closed doors, he was negotiating taking their money. And now you have, listen, the details haven't come out specifically around what this new entity will look like, what it's going to be called. It combines LIV, it combines PGA, it combines the DP World Tour, which I think is the European World Tour. Mm-hmm. But the Saudis have infinite money. And oil is only going to last so long, right? So what are they doing? They're trying to diversify. They're trying to get involved in sports. They have infinite money. They're offering washed Karim Benzema God knows how much money. And it's like, at what point do the Saudis just own the sport of golf? And then when does it spill over into other sports, right? Like, you have tennis, for instance. Tennis is a sport similar to golf where you only really make money if you win and if you are successful. You'll get money from endorsements. You'll get money from placing in tournaments. But the true money comes from winning tournaments, whereas in the NBA and the NFL, like, you're getting paid whether you're on the Texans or you're on the Chiefs. And at what point can the Saudis turn to tennis and offer God knows who $1 billion to come over and then take control of tennis? This whole move said to me that the PGA had skeletons in their closet, whether that's financial skeletons that they didn't want to come out, that LIV knew about. It seems as if you go back on quotes from Phil Mickelson and Dustin Johnson, like, they were told something was happening. Like, they were assured all of this stuff, whereas the PGA Tour players weren't. They were left in the dark. They all found out the same way that we did. And it's just the most hypocritical move on Jay Monahan possible. And it's like, are the Saudis going to end up buying NFL teams and owning the NFL and all this stuff? Who knows? But this came out of left field, and I don't think you can find... And the quotes just keep getting worse and worse, but I don't think you can find one Jay Monahan supporter today. And I wouldn't be surprised if he's on his way out, if he gets pushed out, whether that's...
I'm shocked he's still there.
Well, he's the commissioner now of this new entity. They named him. Greg Norman, who was the commissioner of Liv, who was taking all the heat from Liv the entire time, he's out. He's out. So the winners of this are obviously Liv or the Saudis, because their plan worked to a T. The winners, to be honest, are golf fans, because we get everybody back in the same tournament, and golf is unified once again, whether it's morally correct on the financial side or not. If you're a fan of golf, you're a fan of the best players competing against each other no matter what. And the biggest losers are the PGA players, who were made out to feel like assholes if they were to go and take the money from the Saudis, only for that person that told them not to take the money to be taking the money behind closed doors.
Yeah, I genuinely wonder, because I already saw a report that, you know, in theory, an NFL team one day could be bought by the wealth fund. And obviously, they've already done their damage in Europe. And now they're kind of infiltrating the United States. And I wonder if the U.S. government will block in the future Saudi investment, or if our capitalistic society is so capitalistic. It's way above my pay grade.
Didn't you just end your rant with "this just proved money rules everything"?
It does.
So what are you saying in our cap? No shit. They're gonna change up the rules so that they can make more money.
It is a question of who has more money. But what I'm saying is, could the U.S. government pretty much say, these people are morally and they are a threat to the democracy. So if you want to go play for them, you want to go take their money, you want to go participate with them, you have to go over there. And by doing that, yes, the people will still flock for the hills and they'll still take the money. But I haven't heard Cristiano Ronaldo's name in 6 months. I haven't seen, you know, Karim Benzema's introductory press conference, because it's just not here. It's not happening here. I think what's unique about this is, like, Liv Golf was here. They were here. I don't know anything about this stuff, so I'm not educated enough to speak on it, but that's kind of my intuition. One thing I am educated enough to speak on is that, can we acknowledge Nikola Jokic, please? And I'm not talking about acknowledge how good he is. The Joel Embiid, Nikola Jokic debates are honestly going down as some of the most comical conversations in NBA history at the current moment. At the current moment, I know you're rolling your eyes, but at the current moment, it just looks funny. Like, people were called racist. Like, people were saying that it was racist to vote for Jokic. They were being told they were racist for voting for Nikola Jokic. They could not give Nikola Jokic the MVP award because of his shortcomings in the postseason. So those conversations are kind of funny. I'm not talking like best player in the world conversations. I'm talking like, remember when Andre Iguodala won a finals MVP because he limited LeBron James to something like 35, 12, and 36, and 8?
13, and 9.
36, 13, and 9. And it was the most holy get his schlong out of my mouth type conversation. Nikola Jokic is doing that in a 91 possession game in the NBA Finals, casually going 32, 12, and 10. And it's like no one cares. He's going to average
22 and 10.
Sorry, 22 and 10. Like, what are we doing? We're not even having a conversation. Obviously, he's the best player in the world right now. Obviously, he's the best player in the finals. But what are we going to start talking like best player top five ever? Like, at what point, two-time MVP? This is what I'm saying. Why are we stopping from having this conversation? What is he doing? This is the second greatest finals performance of all time, Abe. Is it? Is it not? Behind LeBron's performance, which obviously resulted in a loss.
It's up there. He's playing good basketball, Jack. Is that what you want me to say? Nikola Jokic is playing good basketball. He's a good basketball player.
No, but it's not a flash in the pan, and it's not an outsized result. That's what I'm saying. He averages triple-doubles. He is a two-time MVP. Like, you know how people talk about Magic Johnson? You know, how he could do it all at the... Jokic is doing more. He's doing more than that. And to be quite honest, Jamal Murray, 30-point triple-double in Game 3. He was kind of fishing for it, but he got there. Outside of that, Porter Jr.'s been invisible this series. KCP's been invisible this series. I know the Heat aren't the best opponent we've ever seen, but he carries that team. Like, he carry. I don't know.
Yeah, him and Christian Brown are carrying the team, and Jokic is having him. Sure. He had a really good game last night. He's having a really good playoffs, and they only score 109 points, and that's his stat line. When you talk about after this playoff run's over, and he probably has a Finals MVP and a ring to his resume, and he's got the two-time MVP, and he's doing having these outlandish numbers, and it's like, where does he? I hate that, man. I hate the where does he rank all time type shit.
Why?
I was fine with it last year when Steph was doing what Steph was doing. And at the end of the finals, we were like, does this make him top 10 of all time? That's because Steph just got his fourth. Like, I understand what Nikola Jokic is doing is all time, and he's going to be remembered as an all-time great, but, like, let it play out. And I'm sorry, but these guys...
Oh, now it's let it play out. Don't have discussions about it. We didn't do this with Giannis.
We were having discussions
with
LeBron.
We didn't do this with Giannis?
We did, and we shouldn't have. We shouldn't. Nobody should do it. That's my point, is when you talk about all time, stack the rings. Stack them. And right, he's on his way. Jack, the nicest thing I can say is that he's on his way. How about that?
Nikola Jokic last nine playoff games, 29-13-12, 32-10-12, 34-21-14, 23-17-12, 24-6-8, 30-14-13, 27-10-14, 41-11-4, 32-21-10. It's 7 of 9 triple-doubles. He swept the Lakers. He beat the Suns. He's mauling the Miami Heat. I just want to acknowledge the thing that sucks is I still... Because of the way Miami started the game, I still have trouble putting him over Giannis because of what Giannis is. But Nikola Jokic, it's just unbelievable. Another thing to speak about, LeBron James, Kevin Durant, Stephen Curry, I think we could say they're over the hill. Now, they're still playing at a high level, but they're over the hill. After that, Giannis, Jokic, Doncic, Embiid, all the top players in the world are international, ladies and gentlemen. All the top players in the world, Anthony Edwards and Jalen Brunson, here to save basketball for the USA, apparently. But what's funny is they announced who's going to FIBA, and our general instinct was to be like, oh, yeah, you know, we send this, you know, the B-tier anyways. But when you start to think about it, once those A-tier guys are out, those are the A-tier American basketball players. Now, we're fortunate because the A-tier international are spread across the world, unlike us where we're, you know, highly concentrated. But, it really is not the National Basketball Association anymore. It's the International Association.
I don't think it's crazy whatsoever to say that in a best-of-7 series, one game, whatever it is, the rest of the world would probably wash. So let's go through the starting five. You've got Luka, Shea, maybe, as a Canadian.
Yeah.
Doesn't really count.
Jamal Murray's Wendy. Canadian, too. Jamal Murray's Canadian.
Then you have Embiid, Giannis and Jokic. Like, and then who's on the U.S. side? It's Tatum. It's Durant, it's Steph, it's LeBron, and it's Kawhi.
AD.
Whoever you want to put in there. Like, all three MVP candidates this year were international. Like, it's as simple as that. And then there's Luka. You know what I mean? It's clear that that's where the world is. Like, basketball is growing over there. Now you have Wembanyama coming over and everything. 2-1 after last night and that performance, and right hand up, 10 minutes before tip, I was texting you, Heat or lock. You said, why? I said, I don't have an answer for that. Newsflash, fast forward 2.5 hours, Abe was wrong. Sun also came up today. Actually, I'm not sure if it did because of Eagles in a stupid
it's
country.
Tough to tell.
But I really don't think this series is over, Jack. I really, really don't, and I still can very well see the Heat winning this series.
I don't want to say I don't want to say the series is over, but the Nuggets are winning the series. It's not a hot take. They're minus 700 on the money line to win the series, but they're the better team.
Minus 700?
Yeah, if the Heat, because they've got home court back, and now...
No, I understand why. I'm just like, people, like, I thought Vegas, out of all people, would just see that dog.
Yeah. I think the dog, like anything, and I've said this before, Dan Campbell, right? He's the dog. Everyone loves the vibes in the locker room. But when they're 4-9, you know, you're on the hot seat and the shtick doesn't go as well. I think same thing's going to go with Deion Sanders. Like, everyone loves the mentality, the dog, but when Colorado's 3-8 in the Pac-12, it's a little less sexy. Same thing with the Heat. When they're not making shots and when in a game, you know, they're allowing two 30-point triple-doubles, and they're scoring 90 points. The dog, you know, at some point, the dog's got to make shots. So I just think that unless they get lucky, not lucky, unless they have these outside shooting performances in the next 3 of 5, like, are they really winning 3 of the next 5 games? 3 of the next 4. They would have to win 3 of the next 4 games.
That's 5.
That's a tall task. They would have to win 3 of the next 4.
Yeah, yeah, 3 of the next 4. Yeah, like I said, the same reason why, of course, and the same reason why I picked the Heat last night is the same reason why I'm saying they still have a chance to win, and that's no reason. No reason at all. It's just how I see this playing out, and I'm mad enough to sit here and say that I don't have to write X's and O's or anything to be able to make a pick and be wrong and be fine with it. I'm rooting for the Nuggets in 5. I think it's going to be the Heat in 6, and I just want the offseason to come.
Who's your cuck of the week?
Ooh, my cuck of the week goes out to an actress, some might call. An adult star goes by the name of Mariah Mills. Oh, yeah, this is as cuck as it gets, brother. What should I read the tweets? Do we want to give a little context? Let me try and do my best at explaining the topic without reading the exact tweets, but you can go find them for yourself. Mariah Mills is an adult actress, an adult star. She appears on several different websites, including OnlyFans and others, and she apparently had a relationship with Zion Williamson. And then beautiful news came out the other day. Zion Williamson was having a child with a woman. I don't even know if it was he's stepfathering the child or if it's his child in general. I don't know. It was beautiful news. And then Mariah Mills took to Twitter yesterday. And you want to talk about Liv knowing the skeletons in PGA's closet? Sounds like Mariah had all the skeletons in Zion's closet. I don't even know if they're skeletons. They were just outing him for being a little freaky boy. That's all. She said that Zion was that his baby mama that he's with is the reason he gained weight. She used to tell him that he's the next coming of LeBron. And just a week ago, they were hooking up and she was going to move to New Orleans and be with Zion, only for the news to come out that he got another girl pregnant. And if that isn't the straight up definition of a cuck, I'm sorry, Mariah Mills. I'm sure you do great work and you're a great actress. But today, you don't get an Oscar, you get the cuck of the week. And if you want to go find her tweets, I highly suggest it if you're over the age of 18.
It's one of those situations where she made herself look bad, but tried to bring Zion down with her. And I think successfully did in a way, but also made Zion look like a king. It's one of those very weird situations. So weird that I don't think anyone in the world was expecting that on a Wednesday morning. But yeah, there's not much more to say than go check it out. Zion, I get that you're a young kid, you're doing what you want to do. You gotta play basketball though. We gotta get you away. You can't trust these girls, and you gotta get back on the court.
Let's just go through it real quick. The 2019 draft class is not shaping up to be the all time great that we thought it would be. You have Zion, who can't keep his dick in his pants, can't get on the court. You've got Ja, who has an addiction to toy guns, apparently.
Toy guns.
I'll just say that. I said toy. Nerf. And you've got RJ, who's from Canada and is trying to burn America to the ground right now. Like, you've got three guys at the top of the draft board who are just not what we expected them to be. They're providing content off the court that we can run with and enjoy. But as far mm-hmm. as the high-flying theatrics that we thought we'd expect to see on the basketball court, we're not getting as much of that. Zion's getting much of that, just elsewhere. And Ja likes to play with Nerf guns, but that's pretty much it.
All right, our internet graphic of the week. Name a team that should have won a ring. The image that we're looking at is Kevin Durant, James Harden, Russell Westbrook on the Oklahoma City Thunder. I don't know if that team should have won. I think the idea that that core should have stayed together and won a ring is probably fair. But, Abe, who's the team that should have won a ring?
It's very hard not to get selfish about this and say that the Eagles of the last year, because the NFL rigged it with the groundskeeper rigged it and the guy should be in prison. But I'm not going to go that direction. The first one that came to mind, there's a lot of directions you could go and have fun with this. The first one that popped in my head, and that's why I think I need to make that my decision, is the KD Kyrie Harden Brooklyn Nets. Harden goes down in game one of that series. Kyrie rolls his ankle, and then they're in a game seven. And if Kevin Durant's shoe is a half an inch smaller, they move on to the next round. And instead of the Bucks winning the championship, they win the championship. Those three guys only played less games than Zion has together. And when they were on the court together, it was just an unstoppable force. Watching them play basketball on offense, regardless of what they were doing on the defensive end, it didn't really matter. In the playoffs, they were going to get 130 points on you. It was three of the best scorers in the league. And like I said, they had all bad shit go their way in that Milwaukee series with the injuries. And at the end, they were a foot on the line away from moving on to the conference finals or the finals. I forget what it was at that point. What round was that?
I think they would have gone to the conference finals. They would have faced the Atlanta Hawks. It was whoever won that got to play the Hawks in the third round of the Eastern Conference playoffs. Hawks were a good team that year. They beat the Knicks. I forget who they got in the second round, but they for sure played the Hawks. I'm going to go with a different Kevin Durant team, actually. The KD Warriors with Boogie Cousins. I think that is the only team in the history of sports that you could say for sure, if they were healthy, they would have won the championship. If Kevin Durant's healthy and Boogie Cousins is healthy, there's no way in the world that the Warriors don't beat the Raptors in the NBA Finals.
Why are we making this about Boogie Cousins?
Because Boogie was good back then. He was good back
Stop.
Then.
Stop. You want to talk about it, it's Clay and KD, not
no, Boogie. I know. I know. But
I can't
Boogie
believe you
was
just
fully...
framed that team as the KD and Boogie Cousin Warriors.
No. The KD Warriors, and then I was saying KD and Boogie were like hurt going into the series. Clay got hurt at the very end, and it was like pretty much if Clay hadn't got hurt, I don't know if the Warriors necessarily win the series. But if Durant and Boogie were healthy from the start, that series is over in five games.
Yeah, and I can easily say that if the ball didn't bounce on the rim four times, then the Sixers should have won one. But I'm not. I'm not going to make this selfish. I'm not going to say reasons why.
No, that's my point is even it. Well, if the ball didn't bounce on the rim four times, the game would have gone to overtime. So it's tough to say.
Playoff Himmy.
Yeah, you would have.
Playoff Himmy.
Playoff Himmy is right.
Playoff Himmy might be like the biggest cap.
Well, that's what I had been saying, and then I finally gave him his respect, and then he went back into his shell. So, yeah, playoff Himmy was short-lived. But let's go with ranked. Unwritten rules. Shout out to our boy Tyler Nolan in the Discord for this one. My number three unwritten rule that I love is if your quarterback gets hit late, I need five males over 6 feet, over 300 pounds over.
Whoa. Why not a female?
Because they're not historically in the NFL blocking
yet
on the offense. Right, yet. But I'm just talking about what we have right now. I need five guys to run over and beat the shit out of whoever hit my quarterback. That's an unwritten rule. Don't get a technical foul in basketball. Don't get an unnecessary roughness. Unless my star quarterback gets hit unnecessarily.
So you took the sports route on one of them. obviously, this is, we just kind of generalize life. None of mine really have to do with sports. My third one, the unwritten rule. If I hand you my phone and I want to show you something, a photo, a text, whatever it is, a website, keep your hands to yourself. Don't swipe left or right. If we're in my photo album, I don't need you seeing the parlay that I sent over to my friends last night that I told was a lock that did the reverse sweep and a leg didn't hit. Keep your hands to yourself. I'll show you what I want to show you. There's no swiping on somebody else's phone once they show you something, because you never know where you'll end up.
Go ahead with your number two.
Yeah, my number two. If you're going out to dinner with a big group of people, I'm not talking like four people. I'm not even talking maybe six people. That might be manageable. I'm talking a squad. You know what you're getting yourself into. And listen, I don't have a lot of money and everything. Like, I make, what, 150K an episode on here? But that's pocket change. That's going into everything I lost from NBA Top Shot. But don't try and be that guy that itemizes the check and was like, well, you actually ate 40% of the nachos and you actually ate 17% of the nachos, so you're responsible for $2.17. Stop being a hardo. Commit to the dinner. Know what you're getting yourself into, and that it's not about the money. It's not about the food. It's about getting a big group back together for whatever reason. Don't be that guy. If there's other people that are on your team and that are suggesting it in the group of people, yeah, maybe you bring it to the forefront. But don't be that first guy that at a big dinner starts itemizing what everyone got and how much they ate, because that person sucks, straight up.
Are you in the camp that it's an unwritten rule to not then go be that guy who gets the surf and turf or who gets
the You got to play. You got to know the situation. Don't be. If everyone's ordering burgers and everything, don't order the porterhouse. Like, just read the room, be an adult, and understand what's going on. Just have some awareness when it comes to itemizing and when it comes to ordering in group settings. Don't be that person.
I'm always team split, because, like, split evenly, because I would say naturally I'm consuming, you know, drinks, and I'm consuming the apps, and I'm consuming a full entree. So I'm actually always fine with the split. I think it probably plays out better for me. I'm actually not in the camp that I'm offended if someone wants to itemize, but the unwritten rule has to be, you go do the work then. If that's how you want it to go, you have to go do the work. Don't, because I paid, because I was nice enough to put it on my credit card and do that, I'm now not in charge of making sure that you only paid $37 and Abe pays $42 and this joker pays $56. But I think coming from a place where I spent time with someone who didn't drink, and that can be, you almost feel punished for going to dinner with your friends and you're out $30-$40 because you didn't have a couple beverages. I understand it. But why is that responsibility mine now? You know, I guess that's
Mean to say that I get offended by it by any means. It's just like, don't, I just don't think you should be that guy. However, you brought up a good point. If you go to a big dinner and everyone's having multiple cocktails and multiple drinks and you're not drinking because you're on meds, you're sober, you're driving, whatever the reason may be, then I think it's fair to say I didn't drink. I don't want to, like, that's a substantial amount. But when everyone's drinking and everyone's eating relatively the same range of food price-wise, let's call it a $25 to $35 entree, we're splitting hairs at that point, and that's where I draw the line.
Do you have experience with that? With someone coming to the table? Like, really?
In detail.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Even if it is the situation you posed, which is like everyone had two drinks, everyone had generally the same thing.
Yeah, big time. That's tough. Talking itemizing it down to how much. I'm talking about itemizing it down to how many chicken fingers or wings you ate, percentage wise.
That's kind of just like a get new friends type. That would be the unwritten rule for me, is cut those people. My number two is, if you clog a toilet, it is your responsibility to figure it out. Disagree. What do you mean?
It's your responsibility to put your hand up and say, yep, I did this. Like, don't walk away. Don't try and hide and be like, yo, who clogged the toilet, and go in there 2 minutes later. Like, put your hand up. Yeah, maybe I guess you have to take ownership too. Like, just go right to the person that owns the house. Owns, be like, sorry, nature happens, and I need a plunger, and that's all I'm going to say. And if you can't fix it, you can't fix it. They're going to need a plumber. Listen, we don't poop shame. We don't poop shame at all. No matter big, small, wet, dry, whatever it is, we don't poop shame. Just don't be the guy that tries to hide the fact, like it's a fart. Like, who farted? Like, bro, we know you farted.
And most of the time, I feel like people do try to hide it because they subconsciously blame it. They subconsciously blame it on, like, mechanical errors or, oh, your toilet couldn't handle the toilet paper that I had to use. It's like,
yeah, your toilet's sure. Your toilet's not built for my shit.
Exactly. My number one is the bro code. It's an unwritten rule. It's also a known rule. It encompasses a multitude of things. And in the bro code, you could probably say toilet clogging is in there. You could probably say splitting checks when you're sharing similar things is in there. But for the most part, it's related to girls. And you don't mess with your bro's girl. I'm happy to say I've never broken the bro code. I don't even think I've come close to breaking the bro code. So, Abe, do you think you've ever had a moment where you've broken the bro code?
No. I've always, like...
Are you man enough to admit if you had?
Probably. And if I think about it down...
Can you think of anyone you know who has broken the bro
code? Yes. Very, very quickly. Very quickly. Not to me.
And you really do need new friends.
Right? Yeah. The bro code applies all over life. Is it if I send you my bet, do I expect you to ride it with me? Like, simple as that. That's bro code. If I lose money, I expect you to lose money with me. But no, I don't think I've ever broken it. I take that pretty seriously, and like, it to me, it's like, no, but nothing's ever like that worth it. You know what I mean? For what comes on the back end of it. But yeah, bro code is definitely an unwritten rule, and some people might think some things apply to bro code and others don't. That's for the bros to decide at the end of the day. If you do something, it's up to the bro council to determine if you broke the code. Simple as that. My number one, you're at a stadium, you're at a restaurant, whatever. There's three urinals, there's four urinals. I go, this only applies to the males, unless you're into some Zion shit and you're a woman. And I go to the far left or I go to the far right. Listen, I'm all for the homies. I'll kiss my homies goodnight any day of the week. But don't get that urinal next to me. Simple as that. I saw some guy from Barstool tweet yesterday. I forget what it was, like 7 a.m. Like, do the walls on urinals even do anything for, like, big NBA players, or can they just see over them? Like, first off, you're not looking. There's part of bro code. Like, if you're at a stadium, it's a line of 15 urinals and everything. Your eyes are straight ahead or they're straight up. That's bro code right there. But an unwritten rule is if you don't take the urinal next to me, you even go to the stall to take a standing piss if you need to. I've done that plenty of times. We have in my work office, we have two urinals and two stalls in the bathroom. Anytime someone's at the urinal and I got to pee, I'm just going to take a piss in the stall. I'll stand up. That's an unwritten rule, is you're not going to take the urinal next to me.
Wow, I've never done that, but obviously a highly unwritten rule. Unwritten rules are funny because they're spoken about a ton. I guess they're just not written, which makes them unwritten. But we've got breaking news on the podcast, and we've got a good opportunity to bring Eagleson in as well. It's about as exciting as like an average omelet on a Tuesday morning. Dalvin Cook has been released by the Minnesota Vikings. The first two names Schefter has tweeted is the Miami Dolphins and the Denver Broncos. Two teams that just do not need to pay a running back any dollars. So, Eagleson, how are you getting excited about Dalvin Cook potentially joining Lionel Messi?
He's coming. He's coming. It's happening. Look, we're already essentially a perfect team. So just adding another speed guy, another running back, I'm totally cool with it. No problems there. He's a Miami guy. It'll work out. I know, obviously, we say you shouldn't pay running backs, but one-year deal wouldn't hurt.
I agree with that, actually, a one-year deal. Like, no harm, no foul in that. You said they're a perfect team?
Essentially. On paper.
Yeah, it's really cool if you like to play Madden, and that's about it for me. Like
Madden, you're gonna be so fast in Madden.
Did you bolster the offensive line? Did you do any of that?
Yeah, we've signed some O-linemen. We signed Isaiah Wynn.
Tua can play O-line now, I guess.
It's never gonna stop, is it?
No, he looks good. Think about the set, though. Like, they could run Tua at fullback and Dalvin at H-back. That could be
Yeah, dude, think about if they do the tush.
Okay.
Think about fourth and inches, the tush push. Like, you think 600 pounds hurts.
What the Eagles did, right?
Exactly. Yeah. Like, if you do that with two offensive linemen, I guess they are an essentially perfect team.
That's touchdowns. Yeah. I can't he just tweeted something else. Vikings are expected to try to trade four-time Pro Bowler Dalvin Cook.
Oh, so you today. Just lied.
He tweeted he was being released first. Now he just reneged on that.
Well, that's so funny because that literally happened with Chris Paul last night. Chris Paul got waived and all of a sudden he was still on the team.
Yeah, he just did the exact same thing. Now they're looking to trade him.
So you both want these irrelevant big names to sign with your team after they've been released, Jack being Chris Paul and the Knicks and Eagleson being Dalvin and the Finns?
Feed me, Chris, in the Mecca. I need it. I mean, just having my favorite player playing for my favorite team.
Sure.
I think Chris is also at a point where he knows, like, this season was a pretty big tell to say he's not that guy anymore. He's not the starter. He would have to come off the bench. But I think he could be, like, an elevated D. Rose. Like, I don't think Chris Paul is at the point in his career where he comes in late or, like, when the game's out of reach and everyone cheers and, like, wants him to shoot, almost treats him like Make-A-Wish. I think he's still, like, a viable backup point guard that can mentor young players. So,
I think he's, he could be what Kyle Lowry is to the Heat, essentially. Like, he's getting playoff minutes, and that experience is there, not playing in a – well, he is addicted to playing in the finals. You should want Chris Paul because he is your favorite player. Having Tobias on the Sixers and being able to watch him and root for him has been some of the greatest and worst times of my entire life. And just having your favorite players wear that uniform is special. So I hope that for you, Jack.
I appreciate that. And for the Dolphins, if you get Dalvin Cook, the needle – the needle would
go. You know what? You know what we'll do, Jack.
Realistically, it's just a running back, and we already have some.
We'll
like, it's not going to make a huge difference, but
we'll do the classic barometer. We'll look at their write down their odds right now to win the Super Bowl, and let's see how much they change once if they announce Dalvin to the Finns.
It would not move it at all, would it?
No,
Eagleson.
Not even. No. Not.
Yeah. Might go the opposite way.
No, it wouldn't. Come on.
I mean, they're burning.
I did want to go back to the
on a running back, so it might.
We're already we got everything else figured out. It's just gravy at this point. I wanted to go back to the
who's
rank
your
for
wide
a second.
Receiver three?
Chosen Anderson, sleeping on him. He's looked so good in camp.
Okay, carry on.
Nothing.
The
you guys
fuck
got nothing
is
for that.
Chosen Anderson,
Robbie Anderson. Anderson. His new name.
Oh my
he changed
God.
His name.
Chosen Anderson got traded by Carolina and then cut by Arizona in the same season. And the Cardinals were the worst team in football. So, yeah, I'm really excited.
When geez, you don't have to say it like that. Apparently, like, I know. Look, everyone looks good in camp. It means nothing. I'm just kind of saying this. But they said, hey, he's looked better than everyone kind of thought he would. Obviously, take that with a grain of salt. It's just camp. But, hey. I'll take it. They also have Eric Uzama, but anyways, I wanted to go back to the rank for a second. I know, Abe, you kind of talked about it just a tiny bit. I had this problem at college a lot. The double urinal, one stall in the bathroom. I know you said you'll just go right into the stall. Jack, you said you wouldn't.
Yeah.
You'll go right beside. Oh, there's two urinals. You're going beside the other guy.
I've done it. I've done it for sure.
On a double for sure.
Yeah? Mm-hmm. Okay. I think I'm probably going to the stall.
No unit
Most
shaming.
Of the time.
No unit shaming.
Yeah.
I
okay. What
whole
the puck?
Segment.
Anyone?
Sure. Go ahead.
Okay.
Oh, where's my phone? Here we go. What the puck? It's been a while.
Has been a while.
All right. What the puck? Right after Eagleson said Sergei Bobrovsky would have a good game and the Panthers would tie it 1-1. 3, 2, 1, go.
So I was dead wrong about what was going to happen in these finals in essentially every way. Aiden Hill, who I said would suck, has been phenomenal. 937 save percentage, slash Matty Tkachuk, and almost got in a fight with him. Plus, he's only making $2 million a year. Compare that to Bobrovsky, who's making $10 million. Obviously, he goalied the Leafs, and I thought he would do the same against the Knights. He hasn't. He's actually been straight up not good at all. He got pulled in Game 2, and Florida is looking like they're in trouble. Obviously, Vegas, they're a pretty stacked team. And a recurring theme I'm noticing here with a bunch of these cup teams the past few years is they have really good fourth lines that seem to make a huge difference in the finals. Vegas, they have Nick Roy, Kolesar, and Will Carrier. Tampa had that crazy Perry Maroon line, and Colorado had Cogliano, who, whenever he was on the ice, you'd hear the guy's name. Anyways, Game 3 is tonight. Vegas is looking to make quick work of Florida here. A soundbite from Game 2 actually came out, which was funny. A bunch of the Vegas players were chirping Florida's bench, saying that you guys don't want it as bad as we do. And watching the game, that is actually seems like that's exactly what it is. Vegas has been here before. They were here their first year.
Hey, man, you know what they say, Jack. Series doesn't start until a road team wins one.
Yeah.
Did you guys hear, like, is there like a truck horn in the background there?
Yeah, like right before.
Right when that happened?
Yeah, right before.
That was perfect.
Right before I had to do that, a truck horn.
Yeah.
Wow. Beautiful New York.
Yeah. The Panthers are probably the biggest lock in NHL history tonight. It's like once Eagleson gives up on them, that's when they're obviously going to come back and win. Like my Knights in the series, and I don't know what the fuck a Sigligliano is, but sounds interesting. I'm going to go get myself some breakfast tacos, enjoy Austin, Texas. What do you guys got going on this weekend?
Just going to be tuned into every NL Central game, or AL Central game, baby. Just watching, baseball all weekend.
Shout out Ellie DeCruz, shout out Champions League Final, and we will see you guys on Monday. Much love. Peace.